tidbits in there you don't know. Well, you guys are really close. See what? Look what I did, huh? This is all right. Thank you for coming. So if you have Bibles, regular book Bibles, open it to Proverbs chapter 1. If you have it on your phone, that's acceptable as well, too. And that does not bother me. And so before we get started, of course, my church knows, you know, this is interactive. And so if you have a comment or something, raise your hand, or you've got some deep insight, or you have a wonderful word of wisdom tonight. You know, that's what it's all about. Share your word of wisdom with us. But I'm going to ask a few questions as we go along and share a few different things. So I titled our worksheet, Takeaway from the Book of Proverbs. Now, when we say takeaway, I'm not saying take something away. Takeaway is just the new term that says we're going to get to the conclusion of the matter. We're going to get to the meat of the subject. So each time we study Proverbs, it's going to say a takeaway from the Book of Proverbs. And I'm going to back us up here just a minute on that. I'm going to go right here. Because I wanted to share all of my wisdom first. Because I know once we share all my wisdom, you guys probably want to just go home. Because you've already heard all this, you know. Here's my wisdom for tonight. When life gives you lemons, squirt someone in the eye. Always borrow money from a pessimist because he won't expect it back. That's a very good thought, you know. And then the last one, don't spit in the wind. How many have you've been told don't spit in the wind? And how many have you tried to spit in the wind? Every kid usually tries to spit in the wind just to see what really happens. And so that's almost all of my personal wisdom that I've shared with you tonight. So feel blessed. And thank goodness that we can learn more wisdom than that. Another slide here. Whoops, not that slide. I'm jumping all over the place here. I lost my dancing. Here we go. Okay. This is no one in particular that I know. It's not a drawing of anybody here. With age comes wisdom, huh? Apparently wisdom weighs about 40 pounds. Or 50 or 60 or whatever. So let's talk about this just a minute before we get into the background and all the logistics of the Book of Proverbs. Okay, so raise your hand. What do you associate wisdom with? Grant. Age, okay, that's a good one. Age. Experience is another good one. What do you associate wisdom with? Common sense. Huh? Your... Wow. There's a blind man in the congregation. Yeah. His mirror. Okay. We're glad you're here tonight, brother. So, anything else that you associate wisdom with? What do you got? Knowledge? Anybody got anything else? A lot of them have been named, but there's a few others that... Experiencing and things that are good. That's awesome. That's like fine-pointing it. Application. Good. Somebody else said something about hair? Loss of hair? Oh, red hair. Oh, gray hair. Okay. Well, I did have hair color. Yeah. Not only do we associate wisdom with gray hair, but... Go ahead. Think about it. And what color hair do we associate non-wisdom with? Blonde, So, yeah. How about, and y'all are going to be, oh, you shouldn't say this, but do we sometimes associate wisdom with gender? Sometimes true. Trenton, we do. Sometimes, yeah. So sometimes wisdom's associated with gender. So those, everybody's pretty well covered everything except for the, I had to throw in the blonde, the no wisdom in the blonde, but in gender. So there's a lot of different things we associate wisdom with. But what we're going to learn in Proverbs is what is true wisdom. We associate a form of wisdom with all of those things. But we need to identify and learn what is true wisdom. And so we'll look at a few things here, and then we'll get started. I think there should be. Okay. So I'm doing some of my funnies ahead of time because I'm going to be pressing here in a minute. But let's do a few more funnies. Now, this next excerpt is a few things that I'm saying do not try at home because it does not display wisdom. So you might turn the lights down maybe a little bit. I don't know if they'll be able to see it. And oh no. Yep, there's a few more here. Never stand on a clothes basket. Not a good idea. There is a weight limit to these things. A weight and age limit. I don't know how old this person is, but watch what happens. This is great. Not you want to do that. Okay. So, was that the last one there? Okay. So, I had a few other ones, but I'll save them for, we've got several chapters in Proverbs, so I can't show them all on the first night. And so, we're going to be reviewing things that are not, you know, especially wise. So, you've learned my wisdom for tonight. I'll probably have some wisdom for the next time, too. So, be sure to take notes. You've seen some things that wasn't too wise to do. We've associated wisdom with a lot of different things. So tonight we're going to really learn about what really wisdom is. And as we get into this, I hope that it's something that encourages us as a church and challenges us to want wisdom more, to really desire it. So now let's look at our handouts and let's start with the background. So let's get into something a little more serious now. The background, the book of Proverbs was written primarily by King Solomon. When he was in the age range between 40 and 50 years of age when he was king. And so the book of Proverbs, of course, was penned by Solomon but inspired of the Holy Ghost. So raise your hand if you know who was Solomon's mom and dad. Grant? True. What about names? David and Mama was? Bathsheba. Okay, very good. And so we're looking at approximately, I was doing some research on this, and some scholars differ with a few years, but the book of Proverbs was written approximately 3,330 years ago. Some were right in there when it was penned. So it's an old book. There was approximately 1,000 years between Solomon and Jesus Christ. And so I'm bringing these points out because there's something really neat about the book of Proverbs that we're going to bring out in this book as well. So interesting, just FYI, does anybody know how old Solomon was approximately? This happened a long time ago, so 3,330, 40 years ago, kind of hard to remember all of that. But he died at approximate age. Does anybody know? I was surprised at this. No, maybe not a great guess, but anyway, he had children, and he had a lot of children, but we're not going there tonight, but he died at an early age for being a king. He died at approximately 60. That's really young for back in Bible times, you know. He was like a youngin', and so he died approximately 60 is what it says. Okay, so just giving you a little bit of background, everybody kind of knows, and we're going to read through the story here of 2 Chronicles 1:11 through 12, so we'll understand how did Solomon get his wisdom. And so let's start right there. So you can follow along, I don't think I have it up there, so just follow along on your paper. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thine heart, thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast thou asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honors such as none of the kings have had that have had been before thee, neither shall there be any after thee have the like. So basically, God told us, basically, in comparison, Solomon had about everything you could have in this world. In comparison, at the time period he was living, there was absolutely nothing he did not have. If he wanted it, he had everything, or he could get it. And so, interesting enough, I mean, we still have a lot of rich people in the world. You know, if you're comparing wealth, you know, we'll probably be looking at like, my guy always picking on in Sunday school. Yes, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, you know, these guys have a little bit of money in their pockets. And to basically, they can choose to have about anything that they want as far as materialism. You know, the philosophy of the world is that money buys what? Everything. Is that true? It is not true. It can buy a fake of everything. It can buy a fake of everything. But it cannot buy the genuine of everything. Okay? And so we know that God granted this to Solomon. Who can tell me why did God, because I didn't put it in the scriptures here, why did God grant this to Solomon? Who knows the story? Who can? Why? But what was God pleased about that gave him this opportunity? Even before that, you guys are on the right track, but before that, Jason, because of the sacrifice, the multitude, it was like thousands, yeah, sacrifices that he made. And so God was very, very, very much pleased, and probably if you could impress God, he might have been impressed that day. You know, that's pretty good if you could impress God. Evidently, he was a little impressed because he said, hey, because this was in thine heart to give the sacrifices that he gave. This was in thine heart. And then you didn't ask after you knew I was so well pleased. You didn't say, oh boy, can give me a bunch of money and give me this and give me that. Because it shows you, to begin with, Solomon's heart was in the right place. He was asking for wisdom. So that's where this wisdom came from. And then the Holy Ghost began to pour it through him. And he pinned it down, and we have it today. We have it tonight. So when we look into this book, and we're just like, oh man, the book of Proverbs and Psalms, you know. We got to realize, think of the value of this, and that we even have this in our hands tonight. That this book that we're fixing to study was a direct result of a man who gave 1,000 sacrifices to God, and God honored him. Do you know anybody else like that? No. So we need to study the book. I mean, that's pretty top notch. And so that's where we're headed. Okay, so let's follow along in our takeaway sheet on the front page, about the fourth paragraph. The Hebrew meaning for our English word wisdom means to be, and you know the Hebrew language, they don't just have one word for one word. The Hebrew language has a lot of words and sometimes pictures and things. You know, they're very descriptive. And so they didn't have one word for wisdom. It was circumspect, consider, self-controlled, knowledgeable, understanding, and teachable. Well, if I have a bunch of wisdom, why do I need to be teachable? I know it all. Think about it. And so we're going to look into that just in just a little bit. Okay, what's interesting, I told you that Solomon pinned this probably somewhere between the ages of 40 and 50. And so it was bringing out that his oldest son was Rehoboam. And so you probably remember reading about Rehoboam, the king, kings and in Judges both. And so Rehoboam was his oldest son. And so they're saying approximately his boy at that age, so we'll pretend that Timothy is Rehoboam. And so Tim would have been about 13 to 23 years old. And Robert is Solomon. And so Solomon is trying to train Rehoboam in to be a godly young man. and to teach him what is right. And, you know, Rehoboam is running around here doing some of these things that those people were doing. He was out there skiing and flipped over on his, you know, stomach, and he was too big for the swing set, and he was falling on the ground, and all this stuff. And dad's trying to teach him something. So the book of Proverbs, the first seven books of the book of Proverbs, is laying the foundation. Here's how serious the situation was. And I think it's interesting. The situation was so serious with Solomon Timothy that he had to take the first seven books just to explain to him what wisdom is. So the first seven books of Proverbs, it just keeps going through what wisdom is from different angles, okay? And so this book was actually a manual of training for his own children and also to be passed around to other people even at his day and hour, because God gave him great wisdom, you know, trying to help people to figure out the right way to do things. Okay, so let's understand that. So when we work through the first seven chapters, we may be going through things that seem a little repetitive. You may say, man, I heard that already. You're not going to hear it exactly the same way, but the theme may be similar. So, but you got to understand, he was dealing with Rehoboam. So, and Robert was dealing with Timothy. So, I'm just teasing. And so, sometimes you got to come at it more than one angle. Okay, so, quick little side note. I like these little interesting tidbits. Tell me if you know, Rehoboam grows up, becomes the next king. Was Rehoboam a good king or a bad king? Bonk. That's true. He was the eldest. And he had the first seven books of training on what wisdom is, and then all the rest of the books. We're going to discuss this. This will all be discussed in this teaching. Because just because you have been taught wisdom, and just because you may even have wisdom, there's another factor involved. And I don't want to disclose it all just yet. So anyway, he was a bad king. And who knows, really, I mean, he did several bad things, and he offered to idols, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. He did all the bad things he wasn't supposed to do. But what was kind of the major bad thing that he did that's attributed to him? And I had to look this up myself, and so, yes, sir. He did a lot of sin, but he did a major bad thing to the nation of Israel. And I really didn't realize this either until I looked it up. Anybody know? You're thinking hard. Under Rehoboam is when the nation of Israel officially was split. All up until that point, they'd been one nation. Under Rehoboam, he split it, basically. And so, at one time, it's Rehoboam and Jeroboam. You know, and when I was reading Rehoboam and Jeroboam, I get them all mixed up. I was like, who was where and, you know, which one was on first? But anyway, that's when the split came, and the split has always been. It's been severed, and it's never been repaired. See, this it's the same type of divisive spirit, you know. And until they accept Jesus Christ, they will never be unified. It isn't going to happen. But it will happen at some point here, but not until then. Interesting, see, the battle still goes on. Okay, let's look at the bottom of our page, and we're going to go to the other side where you'll have use of your pen. The book of Proverbs uses personification. That's a big word because we've got some younger kids in here. Personification means that they attribute like human attributes to a word or something that is not human. So they use personification, always referring to wisdom as in the female gender. So in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is referred to as she. So as we continue through this study, it doesn't go back. Wisdom is always she. And so, just like God is always he. And so, and we don't debate those things. And the people are saying, well, why did they say wisdom was she? we really don't know. We'll have to ask God about that when we get there. But there's speculation on it. And they said most scholars agree that it was personified this way because the drive of Proverbs is that you should desire wisdom. So they attribute that to, like, the desire of a man for a woman. And so they said you should desire wisdom. And then the other part of it is that you should value it, and it should be a beauty in your life. So wisdom will be personified as a woman through the whole book because it should beautify your life. Also, there's a lot of practical study in the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of, okay, you know what, if you do this, you'll get this result. You know what, if you don't do this, you'll get this result. Guess what, if you do something stupid, you'll get this result. So Proverbs is a lot like that. It's pretty straight spoken, okay? So one more thing, and we're turning over to the page behind, the next page. Just flip it over. And so who can tell me? Now, I've told you that in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, when we're studying Proverbs, it's going to be personified as a woman. But really, who is the embodiment of wisdom? Yeah, Jesus, which is God in the flesh, Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 1:30, it's at the bottom of your page. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, God made him unto us, wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. Then Ephesians 1:17 on the back side. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who is the spirit of wisdom? Him. He is. Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So, wisdom sometimes, and I discuss like my little tidbits up there about wisdom, what I thought was so wise in the world, and I have a lot of them if you really are interested, but that's my wisdom. That's my little carnal wisdom, you know. But what is true wisdom? True wisdom is not a thing. True wisdom is a person. True wisdom is a person. And the book of Proverbs is about a person. But they did, the Holy Ghost knew it was about a person. But when it was being penned, they didn't really understand it as a person. Solomon didn't understand him as a person because it wasn't his time yet. But now, us looking at it under the anointing and the inspiration of it, we realize Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, is a study of the character and the life of Jesus Christ. His character, his moral code, who he is, because he is wisdom. So keep that in mind as we study these different things. So on the back page there, we'll just go through just a few slides here. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. I think that's good. I had to throw this one in before we got really serious. Yoda. So, knowing tomatoes are a fruit, intelligence is. Knowing not to put them in your fruit salad, wisdom is. So there you go. So that's how we're going to rightly divide the word of truth. And so, everybody agree, tomatoes are fruits. That they do not belong with bananas and strawberries. No, it does not mix, okay? And so there's going to be some things in here that we're going to learn that are knowledge. It's going to give us knowledge. But then we're going to see how to use this knowledge, and that's what's going to show us how to be wise, okay? So let's go to the next slide. Now here comes the long slide. Okay, here we go. So Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to work through the first, just verses 1 through 6. I guarantee you it's not going to be as long and grueling as it looks up there on that slide, okay? We're going to move fast. If I move too fast, tell me to slow down. I have a tendency to move pretty fast. And so, I move so fast, I'm not on the right side. There we go. I've outrun myself. Okay, there we go. Okay, intelligence resides in knowledge. Wisdom rightly uses knowledge. Wisdom resides in the will. That's really where wisdom resides. Not in your head. It's not in your intelligence. And this is the problem sometimes we find in the world, because they put intelligence with wisdom. And they think that intelligence is wisdom. That's not necessarily true. An intelligent person can be wise. And a wise person can be intelligent. But wisdom, true wisdom, resides in the will. Okay? And we'll that's, you may not be grasping that yet, but you will as we go through this study. So verses 1 through 6, as you read in your Bibles, so I'm just going to read it quickly as we go along. I can be a pretty fast speed reader. And if I say words funny, just ignore me. You know what it probably says if you're following along. So here we go. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb in the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. When they say dark sayings, they don't mean something evil. They mean things that are hard to understand. And that God will give you a wisdom on how to understand these things. Now, I have some lines here on under these two points that are, if you want to jot down notes at any time, you put those there. But on down here, I will have you fill in some blanks. So the first part is just the introduction. This is what a proverb is. So verses 1 through 6, it explains to you what a proverb is. So now, then he starts launching into this. So verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here we go, Rehoboam. My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So you know he wasn't super old when he did this because he probably wouldn't have included mom at that time. So mom was still a force to be reckoned with in his life, just like Jason's situation. So a force to be reckoned with. So, but he was considering his mother. So, forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Okay, let's stop right there. So the first six verses, the purpose of a proverb, what it is. It's a wise saying, it's instruction, it's enlightenment, it's something to guide us to make a good decision. Verses 7 and 8 deal with respect. So where does respect go first if you want to be smart? Which authority? The highest authority. Good job, Olivia. The highest authority, God. Because verses 7 and 8 are dealing with respect. The highest authority. First, the Lord. Fear the Lord. And that's the beginning of it. He's got to be the highest authority. If we have a hard time with authority, we don't respect God properly. Because how can we respect God? And this is what Paul said. You know, how can you do this for somebody you see, you know, what makes you think you're going to do it for someone you can't see? So you got to have a respect for authority, or you won't have any respect for God. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. None of us are going to sit in this room and say, I despise wisdom. We're not going to, because we're not that dumb. But we may despise instruction. What's the difference? Why do we pull back on instruction? Amen, sister. That's where it's at. We're just like, tell me what to do. And so the book of Proverbs nails that to the wall. This will be reiterated for 31 chapters. So buckle up. So he says, only fools despise instruction. Okay, and then after we fear God, who's the next set of authority that we need to fear in our lives? Your parents. Even if your parents are grown. Even if your parents are not saved, you still respect them. You may not be able to do everything they ask you to do because your first devotion will be to God. So if it contradicts God, then, you know, that's where you got to change. But so God and parents, and that's the way God set it up. God and parents, that's where it's at. And so 7 and 8 is about respect, and then he launches into verses 10 through 19, how to respond to temptation. So here we go. I just summarized how to respond to temptation by just saying, have a plan. The best way to respond to temptation is not fly by the seat of your pants. You will not do well. Temptation is not a fly by the seat of your pants thing. Temptation is calculated. Your enemy calculates. You know, the rest of us are like, you know, it's all okay. You know, I've got this. I didn't pray for a week. I haven't read my Bible, but I've got this. Well, your enemy has been doing homework. He's been calculating. He's watched you every day. Ha, ha, ha. Who can I pick on? I'll pick on Addie. Addie hasn't read her Bible. Oh, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Okay, let's hit her about Friday. Yep. I haven't seen her pray at all. She's been, I'm just picking on you. I don't mean it. And so she's been talking in church. She don't even know what Sister Pepper said about wisdom, okay? Two more days of that, she'll be ready. So they're the enemy calculates. And we're flying by the seat of our pants. And so what happens to us? He snatches us. And so here we go. Have a plan. How to respond to temptation, have a plan. Plan that you're going to be tempted. Don't think in any age. We say, well, temptation's for the young people. The rest of us, you know, we're too old. You know, devil don't mess with us. Yes, he does. He tempts us with different things sometimes, but he still messes with us. Have a plan. So let's look at those verses real quick. My son, hear the instruction. I did that one. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. First part of your plan is when the enticement comes, consent thou not. Pretty straightforward. It's not rocket science. Consent thou not. But you've got to be prepared. If you haven't been preparing yourself, you won't be ready. If they say, come with us. Okay, you told them no. But guess what? The enemy's not going to say, okay, well, I better leave. That's not what he does. He says, nah, come with us. Come with us. Let us lay in wait for blood. That sounds pretty dark, you know, but anyway. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole. They're going to eat them alive whole as those that go down into the pit. And so they're getting this all this scenario going. We shall find all precious substance. Oh, now they're going somewhere. Hey, we can get some stuff. Whatever the stuff may that tempts you. And fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us and let us have all one purse. Let's all go in together. How many people sitting in jails tonight because they were with the wrong people at the wrong time? They didn't do it, per se, but they were with the wrong people at the wrong time. Lots. And here we go, 3,330, 40 years ago, the Holy Ghost was saying, here's a solution. Here's some help. So he says, cast in thy, or the enemy's saying, cast in your lot with us, and we'll share the spoil, blah, blah, blah. 15, verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Okay, so we're making a plan. You didn't consent the first time. They come back and they're working on us again. And we're starting to get a little weary with it. We're thinking, well, maybe it won't be so bad. Let's pick on church kids who have been very sheltered. I've never experienced that. I've never seen that. I've never felt that. I never got to do that. That's enticing. It's enticing. And the enemy keeps saying, hey, you know, let's go do this. And, you know, it looks like a good time. Let's all just go together. It won't be a big deal. You won't be the only one who gets caught. Usually you are the one who gets caught. But anyway, that's what they're saying. Then the Holy Ghost comes back and says, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Who has to do that? We do. Verse 16, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. So let's break this down a little bit. So verses 10 through 19, the main takeaway from this is have a plan. If you don't have a plan, you're going to be overtaken. You fight against an enemy who has a very strategic plan. At the bottom line of verse 19, it says, which taketh away the life of the owners. The devil wants to what? Wants to take the world. They tell us in the New Testament. The plan is there. Okay? So, let's go to the next part. So, we see what's going on. We see that we need to have a plan to overcome. So, verse 20, let's go to wisdom calls. So, get ready to fill in some blanks here. The result of responding to the call of wisdom. So let's read it, verse 20. Wisdom crieth, he's calling. She, in Proverbs, but the embodiment of wisdom is Christ. crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, okay, I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to share a personal testimony that I do not think that he will mind that I share, because this is it right here. This is what happened. Josh, this morning, right after service, he was talking to me a little bit, and he was sharing with me how the God, wisdom, cried to him. He was in a concert, not a Christian concert. He was in a, and I'm not sharing anything that he would not testify about himself. He was in a country music concert, and he was under the influence of alcohol. And he said that nothing ever, what God was the first thing from his mind, for the most part. And then the singer started singing a certain song, and there were some references to God in it. But through that, wisdom started crying to him. Now people say, oh no, I don't think God used that drunk country singer up there. And so, no. The Lord just spoke to him. It was wisdom crying. It wasn't because of that country singer. It was wisdom crying. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? When we look at simplicity in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean, you know, living a simple life. It means being a fool. How long will you just love being a fool? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge. And so wisdom cries in all kinds of places. Wisdom cries in ballrooms. Wisdom cries in drug houses. Wisdom cries at concerts. Wisdom cries in stores. And so what is the important thing about that, knowing that we know that wisdom cries in all these places? And us being Christians, so why is that important to us? What should we know about that? We should be ready at any moment to speak for wisdom. Because wisdom's crying. The Spirit is moving. See, the Spirit moved Josh in that circumstance. And the fortunate thing about it was, because he has been in and out of our church, and he's felt the power of God, and he knows the truth that abides in this Bible-believing group of people, he came back to it. But when we're out and about, it's wisdom's crying to people. And so we need to be sensitive, because he will use us, and he may even give us a word of wisdom to speak to somebody. Did anybody read the testimony about the Torberts, about the nurse? Share the testimony, somebody, briefly. And so while you're looking that up, it's very good for those who have not heard it. Lindsay will bring that out. So when we go on down to verse 23, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So wisdom's calling. Wisdom is the Spirit of Christ. And so wisdom is working in this world, even without us, but he desires to work through us as well, and to work in us. Sometimes we're all about him working through us, but are we all about him working in us? Are we all about that part? Did you find it, Lindsay? Read it real quick. Wisdom crieth, and the word of wisdom, is given. That's powerful. I was just like, oh, wow. I just love to hear that. They needed something from God so desperately. They needed something, and God sent them something. So aren't we thankful, though, that nurse was yielded to that? How powerful is that? Okay, let's keep on going. So look down there at the bottom of the frame the result of responding to the call of wisdom, your line, this is what I want you to fill in your line if you have not, because I haven't had you fill in that much yet. I will pour out my spirit, spirit meaning my breath or the wind of God, and make known my words unto you. And so the spirit of wisdom is continually moving. He will move sovereignly, but he also moves through his people. And so that's what we've got to zone in on with this whole thing about Proverbs, okay? So let me finish on verse 27. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, here's where the torments are at. When distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. Not them. He's answering them, but let me show you what's going on here. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge. The people that hate knowledge won't find him, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple or the foolish shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Okay, let me go to the next slide here. Before I go to this next slide, I kind of jumped ahead of something because I was wanting to, I thought about that situation with the torpors. But in verses 10 through 19, we're talking about having a plan. And I'd made this note. The wise man went another way. Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. Paul rebuked the devil. Joseph used wisdom when tempted to hold a grudge when a brother showed up after they'd done him so wrong. It's always a choice. Everybody has a plan. If they don't have a plan, you usually lose. You don't do so well. And so, how many in life, and you don't have to raise your hand because we'd all raise our hands if we're honest, have not made a good decision at some point? Has anybody not made a good decision? And it's not made a good decision, and it cost you something. Now, I'm not talking money. I mean, you could have had a bad decision and cost you money, too. Money's replaceable, but it cost you something deeper than that. And so making a plan is very important. And so I know that's a heavy thing, so I'm going to bring something lighter. Immediately regret that decision. It's like, I should not have done that. And so, but the seriousness of the matter is that we've got to contemplate these things. So now on your page, the last verse of chapter 1, and then we're moving on to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is not as long as chapter 1, so there is hope. So verse 32 refers to self-destruction. For the turning away of the simple or the foolish shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. How many, the old saying that a fool will what? Die with his money. You know, a fool... The sad thing about it is they place everything in their value in monetary things and having things, and then they do not even wisely know how to handle it. And so you will be filled with your own devices, and basically what you do, if you do not develop wisdom in your life, you will self-destruct. You will self-destruct. You will self-destruct many times over. You're like, oh, I self-destruct one time, okay, and it's all over. No. You will live a life of self-destruction. It's a bummer. It's not cool. And so when wisdom doesn't have its way, we self-destruct. Okay? Okay, we are out of control. And so we're like, help me, we are out of control. And so now, the last verse of chapter 1, it says that, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from evil. Let me back up. Okay, the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And then the Hebrew meaning of hear and dwell. In the Hebrew, to hear means attention. attention. And pastors talked about this a lot. There's a difference between hearing and listening. Yeah, I heard it. What'd I say?
I don't know.
Okay. Did you hear me holler for you? Yeah, I heard you. What'd you say? You know, what'd I say? Because we weren't listening. So in the Hebrew, when this was originally in Hebrew, if we could read Hebrew and we would read these verses, it would tell us attention and obedience. Attention and obedience. Hear and dwell. If you pay attention and obey, you shall be quiet from fear of evil. If you pay attention and obey, that's the only way it happens. So we'll finish. That is finishing the chapter 1. So let's jump over to chapter 2 here. And it continues on in this slide. And so remember, the first 7 chapters, we're still just talking about what wisdom is. So he's having to lay this really thick foundation. Okay? So chapter 2. Verses 1 through 9, I'll quickly run through these and I'll give you the takeaway for them. Here we go. My son, here we go. We're reading to Timmy again. If thou wilt receive my words, so evidently he might not have received the first chapter. So here we go. Hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as a hid treasure. Okay, let's look at these 3 and 4. Does that sound like somebody sitting on the pew with their arms crossed doing nothing? We're searching for wisdom. Oh, yeah. That's not what 3 and 4 was saying at all. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. If you lift up your voice, you're really asking. We're really crying and we're lifting up our voice. That's an issue here.
I will fix this.
There we go. Uh-oh. Close enough. Okay. And so, that's action. We're sitting in the house of God and we are losing our battles during the week. And we sit motionless and we don't lift our voice and cry. We don't raise our voice, raise our hands. We don't put some activity into it. And we expect to walk out with victory in the middle of the week. Then we complain to God because we're failing. It's not God's fault. It's ours. It tells us right here. Yea, if thou will lift up your voice, if you'll cry, if we will lift our voice and say, hey, I need some help. I've needed some help lately. And one of the, I can't remember which service it was, and I had to lift my voice. I was like, I need some help with this, God. I need some direction. I need some peace about some situations. So I had to lift my voice. Verse 4, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasure, like you do when you've lost your $20 bill or your $50 or your $100. When we've lost our money, do we just sit down on the couch and like, oh, I'll show up. If it's to be, it's to be. Maybe some people are that way. I don't know. But not in my house, man. I don't care if it's 20, you know, if it's a buck maybe, but but you know, I'm like, where did I lose that? Or if you lost your driver's license? Oh well, if it happens, it happens. If God wants me to have my driver's license, He will make it magically appear. We live our spiritual life like that sometimes. We do. We're like, if He wants me to have the Holy Ghost, then He will pour it out on me. I shall wait. Silence till he does. And Proverbs is saying, you better cry, you better lift your voice, you better search for it like it's $1 million. Because it's more valuable to you than that. It is. And so, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So the good news is, on this treasure hunt, if we really look for it seriously, we find it. It's not like other treasure hunts where we don't look and we're like, ha, we moved it, you're not going to find it. No, God doesn't do that. When we really search for it, we find it. And so, under chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, wisdom is contingent or dependent, you can use dependent, upon the will to want it. Wisdom is contingent or dependent upon the will to want it. Just because you grow older doesn't guarantee you're going to be wise. It does not. And Proverbs tells us about that later. We'll see that, you know, it doesn't have a real nice thing to say about the hoary head that's not wise. They're like, you know, because God's saying you had all your life to do this. And so just because you get older, just because you may be smart, doesn't mean you're going to be wise. Just because you have good common sense doesn't mean you're going to be wise. And so it's contingent, because we said wisdom is centered in the will. And so it's contingent upon the will to want it. Okay, so let's go to verses 12 through 19. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to speed read through there. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Okay, I'm going to stop right here. And verse 12, to deliver thee from the evil man. Who's the bad guy? Who's good? It could be a lot of different things. You know, if you're paranoid, it's a lot of people. So, you know, which one? So, but really, who's the bad guy? Or is it? Yeah, ourselves and the devil. That's the bad guy. There could literally be a bad guy after you. You know, that can happen to you, and God will deliver you if you're walking in wisdom. You know, wisdom says if a real bad guy is after you, you don't go up there and mouth off to him without a weapon. You know, guess what? You might not get delivered from the bad guy. And maybe your time to go to heaven. You know? And the Lord may be saying, well, that's not really the way I was choosing to take you, but, you know, whoops, look what you did. And so, you see what I'm saying? But the bad guy that we're battling, the evil man, is first our sin nature, which the enemy works through. Because, for the most part, nobody in this room is demon-possessed. Demon possession does happen, but none of us are demon-possessed. So, the devil's not in you or in me, but he does work on my carnal nature. He tempts my carnal nature. He fuels my anger sometimes, and that's my carnal nature. And so, it says in verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. Now, froward is one of those crazy words, and when everybody reads this in Proverbs, I don't know how many times they always say forward, because we don't ever say froward. We're like the forward man. Ooh, forward. And so, ooh, and so, but actually forward may be a little bit closer to the meaning of it than froward. But when you look up the word froward, of course, that's an old English word, and that's why they put it in there. But the Hebrew word for froward means perverse. Yeah. So he's not like a suave guy. It's perverse. Completely wicked. Perverse. Completely anti-God. And so, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. Now, before I move on to one more, I think I'm still doing, I think, okay on time. Is everybody good? Nobody falling asleep? You're all right? Okay, I'm moving. The evil man, we know, can be an outsider. The evil man can be the evil twin within us. The evil man can be the enemy. Then that man then can speak froward things. So an outside source can come and entice you with perverse things, but also an inside source. Because sometimes in our situation, for the most part, we're not running and hanging out with froward people. So we're really, for the most part, probably not really having that issue unless we're running with them. But it can be the froward man on the inside. So, how do we get rid of the froward man within us? Froward man within us. Because that's the one that's with you 24/7. So wisdom says that you consent thou not to him. You don't let him have rule. Wisdom says if the froward man within us raises his voice, we tell him no. Wisdom says we do whatever it takes to say no to him. Even if it means to physically have to do something to say no. That's what wisdom says. Verse 13. So from the man that speaketh froward things, the perverse man, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness, the perverseness of the wicked. Okay, stop right there. I'm going to bring it home to where we live. There's no sense in learning about Proverbs and say, oh, that's interesting, and that's the way it was back then, and it doesn't really apply to us now. Yes, it does. Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. How could we be delighting in the frowardness or the perverseness of the wicked nowadays? Entertainment. Well, it doesn't say anything about internet. It doesn't say anything about my phone. It says nothing about my TV. It says nothing about any what I'm listening to. Nothing about my playlist. You're just making that up, Mr. Pepper. You're adding to the word. Am I adding to the word? Because it's the frowardness of the wicked on there, then that's where it's at. I'm not adding to the word. That's where it's at. So it says, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they're froward. And he's really onto the froward thing here. And so, you know, it's just like sometimes, you know how Lucas is. Sometimes he's like, he is on it. You know, and he drives that word home. That's what's going on here. The frowardness. And he said that whose ways are crooked and they're froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Okay. So let's keep looking here. Let's see if I went past something that I need you to fill in. Verses 12 through 19 deals with lust, an undisciplined lifestyle. So we can read through these, and we're, you know, here's what normally I think people do with Proverbs and Psalms. You know, we're putting them, we turn them on our phone. We're like, you know, especially Psalms. Psalms isn't the same as Proverbs, but Proverbs we're like, oh, that's nice. Okay, yeah, I'll be wise. I'll be like the ant. I won't be like the sluggard. Okay, I will, you know, I will walk in righteousness, blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of let, we think it's a poem. You know, we just think it's like, oh, this is a nice little rhyme. A poem doesn't really rhyme, but, you know, not all poems have a rhyme. We think of it like that. We don't realize that, hey, right here, if I delight, rejoice in the ways of evil, that's talking about me watching filth on TV or on my phone or on my device or listening to it. Filth comes any way you want it now. We've never lived in a time where filth can come any way, in any shape or form that you want it. And it's accessible. And so it's never been like it, ever, in the life, in the lifespan, a man. And so it, Proverbs talks about it. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger with flatter with words. Okay, the strange woman. And then, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. So this, the strange woman here in verses 12 through 19, and now we're going to move on to 20 here in just a minute. What's special, well, it's not special, but what's kind of sad about the strange woman? She started out right. She forgot the covenant of her God. So this strange woman, we're not talking about a heathen harlot. A heathen harlot. So we're not talking about that. We're not talking about like Rahab, who was not taught right. She didn't know any different. That's all they were taught. And that's what she became. But she wanted to be different. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a young lady who was taught right. Raised in church. You may say, you're reading all this into that. No, we are dividing this rightly. Proverbs is so valuable. It's God speaking directly to us. And so it says, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgot the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. I'm going to stop right there. And I want us to understand, though it's saying it's in the female gender, it's referring to a young lady, it can just as much be a young man. Because the principle, the context, the principle of this chapter is lust and an undisciplined lifestyle. So that can be male or female. It just so happens that they're using it as a girl right now. But it could be male or female. And verse 19, none that go unto her return, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now, this is interesting. And I'll qualify this, and then we're finishing here, just really quickly. But you need to understand this. because it says, none that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. So that sounds like there's no hope for that girl or that guy, doesn't it? Because in that time, there wasn't. If she got caught, they would have killed her. There was no hope. He was writing it. That's what it was. If you were caught, even though prostitution was rampant during that time, but still yet, if you were caught, yeah, you would be stoned. And because there's a lot of hypocrisy that's going on, you know, because everybody played the game, but if somebody got caught, you were stoned. So there was no hope. So when we look at this verse, people say, well, man, I've done wrong, I've done bad, I've made a bad decision, I guess there's no hope for me. Well, if you were living in that time, there wouldn't be. If there was not a Matthew chapter 1, there wouldn't be. But there is a Matthew chapter 1. So there is. There's hope for us. And so things are different. Things can be different now. And so verse number 20. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. Pastor talking about the serious servant's perfection, the perfect. And a lot of times we want to just bow out, nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect. Well, he's already explained that to us, how we can be perfect. And that's the perfection that God is looking for. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So that's the bottom of chapter 2. So we've got 5 more chapters of establishing what wisdom is. We will move fast through them, but there will still be some great tidbits that we're going to be pulling out of it that you're going to say, wow, I didn't know that. So verse 10 through 20 on this, wisdom on our lines was preserves, keeps, delivers, and perfects. Proverbs teaches us what wisdom is. But for us to exercise this wisdom, we must know and submit to who is wisdom. You know, we can't do his wisdom. We can't do it. We can only receive him. We can only receive that wisdom. We can't do it. We have to accept that wisdom is Christ. Christ is the whole book of Proverbs. A lot of people say now, and I'll close with this, a lot of people say, well, how do you know what God thinks is moral? You know, how do you know what God thinks is modest or good to do? What, you know, how do you even know that? You know, and of course we just said, well, you read the Bible. And then, you know, but not everything in the Bible, if they just picked up the Bible and they opened it to a certain passage, they would say, well, God said that to kill all the Amalekites. So they're saying, okay, I guess we go kill all the Amalekites, you know. And you got to know where to look in the Bible for what God believes. But in the book of Proverbs, you will learn God's code of modesty. You will learn God's code of morality. And you will learn what true wisdom brings in your life. This is the character and the moral code of our God. That's what it is. But it's taught in a practical way. And so it's taught in this practical way. And some of it's like archaic to us. But then that's why I try to break it down so we apply it to. It means us today. In the things that we're dealing with today. So, everybody, I think you guys did a great job on Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. You may have already filled it out. Oh, look at there. You can't even see it. Let's see. Oh, didn't make it. So, that the God of our... Does everybody know what it is? The Father of glory may give unto you and revelation in the knowledge of him. Okay, very good. So that's what the whole book of Proverbs is going to be about. And so at different times, we're going to have different interjections. I'll have come prepared. We'll have some worksheets. We'll continue to have worksheets. There's going to be different videos. There's going to be things. You don't want to miss it because there's all kinds of funny things in Proverbs too. So I like funny things sometimes. So we will add funny things with serious things. And so I appreciate everybody paying attention. Any thoughts, comments, or words of wisdom tonight? All minds clear. All right, Brother Jason, come over and you take it from here. Thank you all for listening.
All right. If we can get a piano player back to the piano. And we enjoyed that. Man, it was good. It's going to get rough. James said, if any man ask or lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not.